Good day to you. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Meraz. Today, our guest is the mayor of Morehead, Mr. David Perkins, as we talk about city business, and we also discuss last night's city council meeting, which was, I guess, pretty brief in general.
Just ran over an hour. Pretty uneventful overall.
When you mention that, the one thing that did come out of maybe the high note or, you know, the keynote perhaps of last night's meeting was the final passage of the proposed fairness ordinance.
Well, that, you know, that was the first regular business thing we dealt with. But we also got our audit for the past fiscal year presented and approved. So, and we did, we came out good with that. So we're happy there. But back to your first question, business as usual. We passed it. The supporters that were in attendance were pleased. We'll do the processes that we normally do for an ordinance and make it official.
And the first reading passed unanimously. So, in essence, I would think that if there was to be any potential controversy about this, it would have come at the last meeting where you talked about this, not so much at last night's meeting.
You know, we didn't know what to expect actually at either meeting, but nobody showed up to rail against it. And I really don't see why somebody would. You know, we're not promoting somebody's lifestyle. We're promoting treating people fairly, you know, whatever their circumstances.
I understand there were some supporters, though, of the ordinance there.
Oh, yeah, a handful. Probably less than there was the last time and then when they first asked us to do it. But, you know, that was their agenda to get the thing passed, so I would expect them, somebody to show up and support.
I think you're now only one of five cities when we talk about Morehead that has passed the so-called fairness ordinance. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, we were in the forefront of the non-smoking issue several years ago, so you know, we're a fairly forward-thinking community. At least I think that's what we are, and I know apparently they're thinking, must be thinking about it in Bowling Green because I had a reporter from down there call me last week, at, you know, looking for comments. So, you know, I guess it's becoming more widely spread idea. It's just how you approach it. And we just looked at it as it was a, we weren't endorsing anything. We were saying treat people fairly. I guess it's unfortunate that you have to create rules that say that you do have to treat people, you know, equally. You know, one would hope that you would treat everybody else like you want to be treated, and that's the position I've had on it.
I think everybody's fairness ordinance, though, when we talk about your city and the other four that have this particular piece of legislation in place, they're all a little bit different, and you worked, I know that you and a number of city officials worked to make sure that this was tailored properly to Morehead.
Yeah, pretty much, and what we did was just add it into our existing non-discrimination ordinance that dealt with the state and federal laws that were on the books. And we did some minor updates to that part of it and then just added this into it. Had a few definitions, and it was, in the big picture, it's not a huge thing technically, and if it serves a good purpose, that's great.
Well, now to the other issue I know you want to talk about is that the city got a clean bill of health from an auditor, and that would be Galloway & Company, PSC, took a look at the books for the city, and everything looked fine.
We got a clean report, and we've had clean reports for a number of years, and I don't necessarily take credit for it, but you know, the staff does the job they're supposed to do, and we try to drive between the lines, keep it on the road and not run off on some tangent that'll get us in trouble.
So you guys are pretty straight and narrow when you take a look at the rules and regulations and the spending practices.
Yeah, you know, we occasionally push the envelope, but if we think we're going to get in trouble, we'll pull back.
Well, as I look at some of the agenda from last night, one thing that kind of sticks out to me, and it's number 9, I don't know if you discussed it last night or not, it's in regards to future growth, development, and projects for the city. Was there something on that particular line item that was discussed?
Our planning person just listed a fairly lengthy list of stuff that's actually in progress at the moment or is about to be started, and when we started reading it off, it's like, we do have a lot going on in the community. You know, I'm aware of it, but when you start actually putting it on a list, well, that's fairly impressive for this community.
Well, give us some ideas. What did you hear about?
There's a new orthodontist, it's a dental clinic out near the high school up on Viking Drive. There will be a orthodontist next door, we believe. You know, they have submitted plans. Several townhouse-type apartments under construction, and they're strung out from East Main Street. There's 8 units going on there. On Round Street, which is down between the car wash on the bypass and the bulk plant in that area, there's will be ultimately 8 units there. There are 7 units on First Street down where Round Water's offices used to be. There will be a drive-through type hamburger and hot dog restaurant near O'Reilly's, right beside O'Reilly's, down on Stone Street. That's cleared the planning commission. It's just a matter of when they decide to actually start work on it.
That's Backyard Burger, isn't it?
No, I think it's Cookout.
Cookout Burger, okay, that's right.
It's a new to this area. I think it's a Carolinas-based company. On West Main Street, where the old ambulance service is, that's being rehabbed into small professional offices. So we got stuff going on.
Not to mention, I guess, a new Fazoli's restaurant coming back into town. As Fazoli's used to be in town, left, and now returns.
Well, that's what we've heard, and that's what we hope happens. That's not really showed up. We've heard of it, but it's not really showed up on the official radar yet.
And then the other question I'm sure that someone's asking right now as we discuss this is, when do we get an actual sit-down type restaurant or upscale restaurant in town to join some of our newer, more fast food style restaurants?
Well, my crystal ball is broken right now, so I can't tell you that.
But efforts continue, I guess, to try to lure one in.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's always something we want to accomplish, get a, you know, good quality dining facilities. You know, the last big thing we had was Cracker Barrel, but not everybody likes Cracker Barrel, and not everybody likes fast food. So we need a good quality sit-down restaurant or two.
Well, let's get into some of the things you discussed at the work session here recently with council, and I know that we'll start with the one that you and I have already talked about, and we've actually run some news stories here on the station about, is some problems with the pool at the Green Hill City Park, some severe problems that could lead to the pool's closure if things aren't fixed, and it sounds like the fixes could be pretty expensive.
There's a potential for a lot of expense or, you know, decision that, you know, if this is not worth putting that kind of money into. But we're going to have some engineering work done to tell us what's going on and what our options are. It'll probably cost us $5,000 to $10,000 just to get that done. Nothing's cheap anymore. And see where we are.
There's a crack, I guess, in the deep end of the pool.
There's a crack in the deep end of the pool. When a pool is full, it lets water out. It's been there for a number of years, but it was just minutia as far as the amount of water that moved. And then when the pool is low, then the water from the basically the creek, which is beside it, will inflow into it. So that's an aggravation, and you have to constantly keep adding water, which means you use more chemicals, which runs into money. But we're also concerned that there could be, have over time created a void underneath that, and if we were to have a catastrophic collapse of some of the interior pool surfaces, that might create a real problem.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about that. This situation, too, I mean, I think we also discussed the fact that as you look at the pool, you mentioned the creek and maybe stabilizing the creek bank, which could run into a whole lot more money.
Absolutely. The creek bank is about, oh, I'm going to say 40 feet of the edge of the pool itself. And over time, it's eroded. The creek has moved a little so that it the creek that's above the pool in a high flow time is aimed right at that creek bank, which just eats away at it. So to fix that situation could be quite expensive. And you have to figure out what's the best option, the best use of the taxpayers' money. Or do we fix it, or do we just say, we've got 40-some years' use out of it, so thank you and move forward, with new facilities.
Yeah, you mentioned that, and I was going to ask you what maybe the timeline is. Now, you mentioned you'll do some testing. You'll have some engineers in there to take a look at it and see what maybe the problem is and what's causing the problem. And how soon do you think you might know something?
Weather's going to have some effect on how we get that done. We will probably have to pump the pool back out. We keep it in the wintertime. We keep some water in it because it will float even though it's concrete if you get high enough water level around it. So there are plenty of barges on the river that are made out of concrete. But we'd have to pump it down, probably do some drilling through the base of the pool and see what's underneath of it. That's got its engineering headaches. That's what we pay somebody with a lot of smarts to tell us how to do it right.
Well, if the pool winds up closing, does this possibly drive the argument then for building a new recreation park?
Well, it certainly changes the game up some. A pool closure would have an impact on our summer daycare program. The two things together would impact the summer employment of a lot of young people, because if you don't have the pool, you don't have the need. So we would like to keep that program running. It might take we might have to take a break for a few years till we get something else going. We would not build the same type pool we had now. It'd be something more attuned to what they call splash park, that scenario, or combination of that and what they call lazy river, where you just kind of have a flow of water that moves through a meandering stream type scenario, within a controlled area. There's not that much real swimming goes on. It's mostly a place to hang out, be seen by young people, and just, and for some people, that's the closest they're ever going to get to a beach.
Well, the other thing that was discussed at, and there were several things that were discussed at the work session, is in regards to the tobacco warehouse that's along U.S. 60. And I guess there's thoughts about maybe using that property for another purpose, maybe acquiring that property.
That's one of those things you put in your wish list. We looked at it before, and we weren't in a position to even think about it financially. We may not be now, but we're at least going to revisit that idea. That's 20-plus acres that's usable. And right now it's not being used anywhere close to its full potential. It would be expensive to purchase. It would be expensive to, demolition the facilities that are already there. Some of it has some asbestos fibers in the roof. We don't know to what extent, but we're pretty comfortable there's some level of it. So, that's that. Just to get it back to an empty lot would be a reasonably expensive proposition.
How much do you think you'd have to spend?
Ballpark, $2 million for purchase and rehab. That's just a good guesstimate.
So this is, as you say, it's kind of on that wish list right now, but if you were to acquire that property, what would you do with it?
Well, it's big enough that you could do, we could maybe put some city facilities there, and there still should be a fair amount of property left for commercial development. We'd much rather see as much as possible commercially developed, because that obviously helps the tax base for the community. Anything that's going to be an economic driver from several points of view would be good for the community.
I understand that one school of thought says you might be able to use that for perhaps a new combined police fire station, and maybe also take some of the land and use it for recreation in some way.
That's entirely possible in the big picture view of it. We are casting about for potential locations for, you know, combined, not necessarily, well, a single building that serves multiple purposes, but, you know, because of the nature of the operations, police and fire would have to be actually be separate with separation, so you can't just mill back and forth between. But, you know, it's cheaper to build a single facility than it is to build two standalone facilities. So that's one reason we're looking at it from that perspective.
I'll ask you this. A lot of the flat land in our area ends up being in the floodplain. Would that be a problem with this property?
There's a small portion, which is back near the creek, that would be in that area. But we believe there is probably 20 acres of usable property that would not be affected. So, and there's probably, I want to say 25 acres roughly altogether. So, you know, that's a whole lot of reusable, reasonably flat property inside the city limits. So an opportunity like that won't come around again, more than likely.
Probably not. Again, our guest today on the Front Page is Moorhead Mayor David Perkins. We'll pause right here on the show, come back with more in just a moment.
Support for MSPR comes from Eat Gallery in historic downtown Maysville. Eat Gallery features original and unique gifts, including local artwork, fine jewelry, gemstones, sculptures, and natural art from around the world. Eat Gallery offers heirlooms, including earrings, bracelets, necklaces, and original artwork by Rob Weingartner and Fred Weisner. Open Tuesdays through Fridays, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturdays, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eat Gallery in Maysville is online at eatgallery.com.
Welcome back to Front Page. I'm Chuck Meraz. Our guest is Moorhead Mayor David Perkins. Mayor Perkins, right now I know the city remains under, and the county too, under a boil water order. There's some testing being done on some lines. What's the latest on the situation? What's the problem, first of all, and what's going on?
Well, I guess overnight, Friday night into early Saturday morning, they test the water every hour or so or every few minutes. I don't know the exact schedule. I used to when I was down there a lot more. And they discovered that the turbidity, which is suspended solids in the finished product, was way above where it should be. So they methodically went about eliminating potential causes, because there are several. And sometime mid to early morning Saturday, they figured out what was actually the cause, and they had spare parts and remedied that. So by late Saturday morning, the actual problem was eliminated, but by then the system was full of water that did not meet the guidelines. So they were required to issue the boil water advisory. It's been a real aggravation for particularly restaurants that serve soft drinks, because once that boil water advisory goes out, they're not allowed to basically sell the soft drink products that mixes with the water. I've pretty much drank the water all the way through, because I understand the circumstances. It's probably not that big of a deal, but because of the standards that are set by the state and federal agencies, you've got to go through the motions and get yourself in compliance. And that's, you know, it's a nuisance, but it's also, there are, you know, people are paying attention to make sure that things are where they belong. A few years back, it might not have been an issue at all, because back then the standards were quite a bit looser, if you will. So something that triggers now might not have triggered 5 or 10 years ago. But it's the way things are. If you're going to make water for public consumption, you've got to comply with the rules.
Hmm. When do you expect them to have this all fixed and the problem
They're
finished?
Hoping they were. I think they were supposed to do some flushing last night. They were going to flush Saturday, but decided that would potentially create more problems if they flushed huge amounts of water into the streets and it below freezing. So they were going to wait till the temperatures were predicted to be, you know, not that cold, to where they start flushing the hydrants and go through and then test the system. And once they draw samples, it takes for some reason about 24 hours to get them through the lab here on campus. So you draw what you think are good samples and you send it to the lab and cross your fingers. But I think that, you know, the water is probably safe to drink now. They have to have official word before they can say so.
So have they told you when they will have it all fixed and ready to go?
The discussion last night with Mr. Teeger indicated that they would probably not have official word until probably tomorrow. And I guess they're being optimistic, but I don't see why they wouldn't. Now, normally we have to come up with a clear test before the county water system can begin theirs, but the Division of Water apparently agreed that they could do it simultaneously. If, you know, they were going to flush simultaneously so that, you know, get this thing straightened up and move forward.
Hmm. Well, as we move forward with our discussion right now, there have been talks, I guess, in regards to reconnecting Main Street, which used to be U.S. 60 before they added the bypass in the area of Morehead State's Academic Athletic Center, and the road was shut down there. You can actually sort of see where the road used to be, but they closed that off, and I guess the city has a desire maybe to reconnect Main Street in front of the AAC. Is that correct?
Yes, we do. We've looked at it for about 4 years now at least, and had the transportation folks come look at it with us and explained our logic as to why we think it's a good idea, and they have agreed with us. We think it's a good idea to have basically what amounts to is a frontage road to where you can travel locally, like between the Tolliver Addition and back on the campus or downtown without having to get out on the bypass. There's a lot of traffic that comes and goes between campus and Tolliver Addition because there's a lot of students that live up there. They get out on the bypass, they come down to the first place they can get back into the campus area and go to campus. If you didn't have to get on the bypass, that cuts down on the traffic, which is basically higher speed through traffic. And then you keep some traffic off of the bypass. And, you know, the people that need to go somewhere on the bypass aren't encumbered by extra traffic coming on and off. And then when there are events at the university, then you kind of reverse the situation, which is going to be very temporary. People that are attending sports events or what have you in that area of campus can filter out on the secondary road and get onto the bypass in a controlled manner. And then the people that do need to come and go elsewhere can, you know, travel on through on the bypass without disruptions. We think from a safety point of view, it's a good idea. It's just a matter of getting everybody on the same page.
So what happens next? What needs to happen for this reconnection of Main Street?
The state transportation folks would give it back to us, but right now they have to get the university to agree to. So that's where it's at the moment.
So have you had discussions with people here at Morehead State?
Yes, we have, and we were told, let us look at our – that was right at the beginning when they were starting the new campus master plan. And we were told, you know, let us look at this in the big picture and see what impact it's going to have on us. We don't think it would have a negative impact, but, you know, that's just our opinion.
Okay. Do you have an idea when you would expect final word on this? Or?
Well, I would hope sooner rather than later, but not specifically.
Make a nice Christmas gift, wouldn't it?
Well, yes.
And 'tis the season of giving and also receiving. Well, Mr. Mayor, thanks. We're out of time on the show today. It's always great to have you with us. Certainly, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to you and yours and all the folks in city government.
Well, Happy Holidays to everybody out there. And see you next year.
You sure will. Morehead Mayor David Perkins, our guest today on Front Page. I'm Chuck Mraz. We'll see you next time.